This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, this is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. The last time I got to talk to Jerome Coogan face to face, at least formally, was quite a few years ago when he and another were editors of an anthology of stories by Malaysians. Since then, when his name appears, I tend to think of him as a writer, as a wordsmith. Then I started to see visual works that he posted on Facebook. I found them compelling. Jerome is here with curator Shamin Parameswaran, and they are here because of an exhibition titled Red and Gold, Blood and Urine? Something like that?
Yes. Because we can't say the P word on radio.
Yeah.
The exhibition just opened last week on Saturday, and it's going on until the December 15th. And I've been working on these works for about 1.5 years now, and for the past year with Charmin as my curator, putting together the show and everything. The show is centered around the human figure.
27 works?
Yes, around there. I think a bit less.
Yeah, we landed on 27 works. I think this body of work is something that actually Jerome has been working on for at least more than a year. So I would say I think there are many iterations or other sort of works in this body. When I came in, he had already shown me all this works that he had already done. And I think this exhibition is the culmination or the distillation of basically this body of work, which we entitle Red and Gold.
I recall you posting them on Facebook quite some time ago. Sometimes Facebook is nothing more than just an extension of that's what I'm thinking now. At what juncture did you think I'm going to have an exhibition of these works?
The idea for the exhibition came to me actually quite early last year. I did like a series of works called Catalogical, which is like a cat paintings, very cute, very like funny. That was very basically like a charimakan kind of a job, which I sold at this local art market called Art for Grabs. And that did well. That series of works did well. And after that series of works, I had this really strong desire. I can't really explain it, like why, the motivation, but I really had this strong desire to paint the human body. Something just compelled me, like, I need to do this.
And it started with Catalogical, which has echoes of scatological, and perhaps that's the impulse.
Yes. Yeah. So selling at Art for Grabs is nice and stuff. I really enjoy the craft market kind of like vibe. But I somehow, like a part of me, because I used to work at the Annex Gallery, and I have lots of artist friends and stuff like that. Even though I'm not like a formally trained artist, I still have this, you know, can I do it? Can I actually do it like in a gallery? So I challenged myself to produce a body of work that is worthy of being shown in a gallery and in an exhibition, like a solo exhibition.
What holds this thing together? Is it thematic? Is it the medium?
I think for me, because Jerome had first done all his works and then he invited me in and I actually went over to his place to see the works, the first thing that struck me was I think there are many layers to the works, but I think it all comes from Jerome, right? So whether I call what holds it together for me personally could be a self-portrait of Jerome, I think especially if you know him. And if you know him, I think as an artist, you know, I think a lot of people know him and he's warm, he's friendly, you know, he's got a lot of humour. But I think when you look at the works, you see that, but you also possibly see a tinge of sadness or pain. I mean, I think I spent the first few months with him utterly confused. Was the works welcoming or were the works pushing back?
Alienating,
right? So we went through a lot of that. And even when we had the conversations, we had long nights, you know, sitting down and I was just talking to him. Every night I walk away going, oh, wow, what was that about? Where are we going with this? The process also took a long time because I think Jerome would suddenly just disappear. And then I'd wait for him to come back. But I think at the end of it, when we were putting up the exhibition, I just looked at everything and went, I sort of know him a lot more through the works as well. So I think to me, it is a self-portrait of an artist.
Portrait of an artist, yeah. Also perhaps in a visual biography.
Oh, that's an interesting way of putting it. Yeah. Because I won't say that it's a... it's not technically self-portrait because it's not literally self-portrait.
Yes, it's not literal.
But definitely visual biography. I would agree with that. Yeah.
I mean, I came to that idea simply by looking at how you have titled them, and then there was a poem in the particular group of works you titled Talisman. Then there were others that you did with cardboard.
Oh yes, a lot of the works, I think, like the explorations that I did, were kind of like trying to grasp at straws. And I think that is true for anyone trying to find out anything about the human condition. You never really can like get at the core of it. And I sort of like went back and forth. A lot of my conversations with Charmin, the dialogue that we had, it was kind of like confusing. It was a bit of a riddle. Even for myself, when I was trying to explain the works to her, I find myself stumbling because, oh, I'm trying to pick something about the human condition, but you know, it's just so hard to pin down.
Let's take one. It's titled The Internalized Self and then / Orchid. A guy with an orchid for a head, but then branches, they look like antlers on a deer. Of course, then the human body, male body, feet of roots.
Yes.
I'm trying to make sense of it. It's not exactly a portrait in the sense of it looks like him. Yeah. This is an idea of something that he has gone through or an idea that he's struggling with. Mm. What is the idea here? And then, of course, I looked at the title or the subtitle.
Yeah.
And the subtitle is, if you must draw a penis, make sure it's soft-focused. But the dominant thing is this head and, of course, the feet.
Yeah, I think the titling was very interesting. Because
cheeky.
Cheeky, because I think the first round of titling was actually what we would call the more gallery art type title, which, you know, the internalized self, orchid. And then when he resent the titles to me and he had put the subtitles in, I was literally sitting
laughing.
In office and I burst out laughing. I had to WhatsApp him and say, Jerome, I'm just sitting here, like, just laughing. And I think that is him, because he's got that kind of sense of humour. And if you want to explain the piece, which is also an interesting piece, because that was the work that actually was the start of this exhibition.
Yeah, that piece we were talking about, actually, one of the first pieces that I did for this series of work. And when I decided to do this exhibition or this series of work, I didn't really know, like, you know, what I was going to do. So I just thought, okay, let's just do something. Let's just put it down to paper. And somehow, the body came from a tracing that I took straight out of like a photograph that I found online, and the orchid as well, and the branches kind of like the antlers, and then the roots. I think it was a projection of what I wanted. Now that I think about it, like if you ask me to explain, I can't really explain the meaning behind it. But the more I think about it, the more people ask me. I think it was a kind of projection of where I wanted, what I wanted this series of work to be. A bit funny, a bit surreal, a bit silly, but still kind of, it centers your eye. And it's kind of like quizzes. It has this kind of question, like a visual question, like, what is this? What am I looking at?
Such stuff are dreams made of. So I look at it, kind of the things you associate in your dreams, people walking around with a flower for a head, you know, and roots for feet. Yeah. What's your process? You've hinted that you do some tracing. You said you were not formally trained. Mm-hmm. And based on the description of some of these works, like you use cardboard, you use cigarette foil.
Oh, yes. So I'm not formally trained. And, you know, when you're like a self-taught, everything like I am, I'm formally trained as a writer, but I'm not trained as a musician or a visual artist. When you're not trained, I always feel kind of like inadequate when I sort of like have to, when I'm dipping myself into a field actually with, you know, full of trained, like trained people. Like I have a lot of friends who are trained in art school and everything. So I've gone through all art school training, and I have none of that. Although I've dealt with like gallery work and stuff like that, So I had to find my own entry point into the in terms of technique, in terms of coming up with my own, I don't know what you call it, style or approach to work. And the works themselves, a lot of it was down to thinking, spending a lot of time just like looking at walls, reading up online, just articles on art, watching endless like YouTube documentaries like on people doing all
YouTube
these user
documentaries,
yeah, user generated like
how to
tutorials and stuff like that. Oh, okay, that's how you do it, kind of thing. What other people have done really kind of inspired me, and in terms of using like different materials, a lot of like artists, local artists, who are some of them are friends of mine, really like inspired me. People like Yi Ilan, Saban artist. People like Carolyn Joan Lau, a local artist whose work is like really underrated. I think she does really great work. People like Lisa Fu Chitu, who have worked with different sorts of materials. Their work really inspired me. And when I sort of like thought about this, when I sort of like did my experiments at home with the images and stuff, and thought about, it really. When I started this thing, I wanted to make it quite serious, you know. I wanted to think about materials. Is it enough to just do the works on paper, on like nice watercolor paper? And I thought, let's experiment. Let's do it on different things. And I looked at stuff around me, packaging, recycled material, cigarette boxes, which I opened up and I thought, wow, this has an interesting shape. Let's do something about this. And that just all came about kind of organically in a way.
Adding on, I think that's what also got me excited when I first saw Jerome's work, was that he was very uninhibited when it came to the figures that he was showing. I mean, I don't think you see many of our works a lot of the art that I've been seeing, you don't see too many artists tackling such, like you say, dreamscape, surrealism type work. And then also looking at materials differently, because to use a cigarette box, right, to take the insides of a cigarette box out, I think what I saw was something that was different, because to an extent, he wasn't boxed in.
I'm talking about that one, Memento Mori, the balance Achilles, amputated ankle, how to dance like that. You know, I love the title.
I love the title.
Because it made me laugh also. Yeah. And you painted, in essence, the heel was amputated. So, of course, you cannot dance. And the way you use the packaging... You cannot paint because there was just no paper, no base to paint on.
I mean, because that works was actually produced on the cigarette box, right?
Yeah.
Just a quiz. How many cigarette boxes did you use for this show?
How much did you smoke?
And all of it he smoked. All of it he smoked.
So for that piece, Memento Mori, Smoke and Ashes, yeah, the alternative title for that was Yes, I Smoked It All. 64 packets in all.
How many?
64 packets.
64 packets, right?
So I'm not sure we can add that part.
We didn't mention any brands. We're cool. Yeah.
Just to talk about having to inhale anything.
Oh, okay.
What do you look at to give the viewer access to his art?
For me, that part is actually quite easy, because I first access the work as a viewer as well. So for me, when we present the works, I would like to allow people to see what I first accessed when I first saw Jerome, like how I got excited that he was using different materials. For the works that he was using different materials, we made sure that when we framed it with to make sure that it's transparent on both sides. So people that can see that it is cigarette packs, that he has used different materials. We hang it away from the wall so that people can walk around it. For the main piece, you know, we sort of framed it in the middle. We gave it a bit more of an altar type experience, because when I first entered his apartment, that was how he had put it as well. This exhibition for me was just... It's all Jerome. What I think I was there for is just to talk to him, sort of see what he wanted to say and how much he wanted to show, and then present it with that kind of excitement that I felt when I first walked in. And I think our process has been quite dynamic. I think it's a good thing because we both work that way.
Yeah.
You know, we decide what we want to do along the way. Also, just to mention where we had the exhibition, Raw Art Space.
Yeah, it's on Jalan Panggung.
It's on Jalan Panggung. Part of the space is also basically you've got a print sort of workshop there, Raksaksa. And when we went to check out the space and the Raksaksa girls were there, Julian and Jane, I looked at Jerome and say, since they're printmakers, should we do our catalog with them? Right? And when we approached them, and then they don't say catalog. They say, oh, you want us to do your art book? And we were like, okay, let's do an art book. You know, and we just gave them the visuals. And what came out of that is a really beautiful piece of art book. That was how this whole exhibition grew. Very dynamic. We worked with the people that we had around us. And, you know, I think it, for me, quite an enjoyable exhibition to do. Yeah.
This is your first solo, right, Jerome?
Oh, yes.
What is the joy of doing this?
Oh.
Isn't it somehow a kind of a self-expression that I want to show?
I was going to ask, was joy even the right word?
There were moments of, like, complete dread. I think I was, like, completely stressed out for a lot of the times because, you know, to do some, to show something at something like Alphagraphs, for instance, you're part of this, like, huge melee of other sort of vendors. You can, like, kind of hide away kind of thing. But to do a solo exhibition, you're really putting yourself out there. And that really, like, made me think, oh, my God, I have to do something like, you know, I have to take this really seriously, I have to put a lot of work into it. I have to really give it, like, not just
give it,
like,
thought.
Yeah, not just, like, time to craft it, but also time to think about it. You know, what am I trying to say? What am I trying to say? So all those questions kept running through my mind. And there were moments there that I just had complete meltdowns. So, yeah, joy, definitely yes, that it's finally done. It's finally up on the walls. But more so than joy is relief.
Do you feel you are on the line?
On the line?
Yeah.
I'm not sure anymore because, like, I don't really give a toss anymore. By this point, I think when I first started, I did worry about how other people would think of it. But at this point in time, like, you know, it doesn't really matter because I think I gave it enough. I think gave it enough of myself. I gave enough, like, thought and work that, I can defend it. I'm proud of the work.
This is not your first time doing any kind of curation. Does it matter that the artist cares how he's being perceived? Does it matter at all? Or, like you say, I don't care. Does it become then self-indulgent?
No. I think because all of us are different individuals, and I think similar with the artists, right? Whether they care, whether they take into account the you know, what's around them. At the end of the day, I think it's who they are as an artist. Jerome can say he doesn't give a toss, but if I look at his work, I was like, you know,
he cares.
cares, but not what, maybe not what people think, but he cares that the work is represented well. One thing that I really liked about him as well is he's a bit anal, so he takes he takes a lot of care in production of the work, you know, and I think that's very important, the quality of the work. So I think even if he says he doesn't give a toss what people around the work sort of think, but he cares about the work. And I think that's what matters because then you produce with yourself in it, you know?
You talk about care. He used a medium where he could control quite a bit.
Not really.
No?
Because, you see, actually it's quite interesting. That's why I say the mediums have been quite interesting in the sense that if you take the cigarette box and you take out that gold foil in it, he started drawing on it. And I think he found it really painful to do, right? So there wasn't much control because he was using a new medium. If you use paper, yes, you can be in control. To me, that was one of the best works of the show. But because it was so hard to do, he only produced one, right?
Yeah.
And it was the first one to get, like, you know, to that someone had bought. So I was like, wow, okay. But actually, I don't think he could control everything. Like you say, he had to chop off an ankle halfway because there wasn't enough space on the box. Yeah.
You know, control, yes. You know, care, I care about the process. Yeah. I definitely care about the process. Yeah. Like when I'm doing the work, I put like 100% in there. And if I'm not happy, I won't show the work. Mm. But you know, after the process is done, I become quite detached from it. Like I've done it. It's done. And if I've done a good job, I can let it go quite happily. Yeah. I don't really have like strong attachments to my work. I only have a strong attachments to the work if they're not done properly. Because I, you know, my mind, I keep thinking to myself, oh, this is not yeah. good enough to let go. I will not show this to the world. But if it's done well, if it's like, oh, this is great, I think this work can speak to other people as well, then I can let it go. Then I don't really care so much anymore about the work.
The works are for sale?
Yes, all the works are for sale. Yeah. All, I think, 27 of them. Yeah, they're all for sale.
Except one, which is up for lucky draw.
Which one is that?
It's the work that I did. A friend of mine went to Cuba and came back and brought me a calabash shell. A calabash is this a fruit thing that has a very hard shell. It almost looks like a coconut shell, yeah. but it's not. And she brought me this thing back. And that's the piece that I sort of like drew inside it. And nothing you do in life invalidates you. And that one, because it's a kind of a whimsical piece, it's also like it acts kind of like a metaphorical object almost, a magical object. Oh, so I want to like, I didn't feel like, because it was a gift to me, so I don't really feel like selling it. And I wanted to give it away to someone who wants it.
So when I asked him what price were we looking at, and he goes, let's do a lucky draw. Okay.
Red and Gold is a solo art exhibition by Jerome Coogan and presented with collaboration with curator Shamin Parameswaran. The exhibition is being held at Raw Art Space on Jalan Panggung and will end this Friday. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng, BFM 89.9. And thank you both for coming in.
Thank you, Soon Heng, for having us.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.